Well, good morning. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I always am encouraged when I see that people are not running out the door when they see me walk up from the back. I thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. I'm going to go through some things this morning that are things you already know. I'm not going to share anything new with you. As I've been studying and been trying to figure out what it is that the Lord has created me for, how he's made me, I've come to a realization that I'm never going to be the smartest preacher ever. That's always been my goal, but I've kind of realized that's not who God created me to be. I still think very simplistically when I read my Bible. I still read my Bible the same way I did when I was a young teenager. It's just very simplistic. And so I've been trying to focus myself on paying attention to those things. Because what I've learned is that in my own life, in growing up in church and always being in God's house, there are some very simple, basic things that I learned when I was younger that have been very easy for me to forget about. It's been very easy for me to start doing the motions of Christianity, if you want to call it that, and forget the very simplicity of the gospel. And so what we're going to look at this morning is probably the very basic thing about what being a Christian is all about. And I want us to look at the Word of God and just remind ourselves why we do what we do as Christians, what the importance is. What we're going to be talking about today is understanding God. You can get your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter number 4 is where we're going to start this morning. Ephesians and chapter number 4. We want to discuss, and hopefully by the end of this morning, we'll see a little bit through the Word of God the importance of understanding God. The importance of spending our lifetime getting to know your Savior. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 17 is where we're going to begin. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 17. Here in this passage, we're given what we're going to look at very quickly, kind of pull it out of the text here. We're given two peoples, the lost and then the saved. Ephesians 4 and verse number 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. So here we're speaking of the lost Gentiles, those that do not know Christ. The first thing we see in verse 17, that they walk in the vanity of their mind. Verse 18, having the understanding darkened. They have a dark understanding, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. We see it said three times in verse 18, their understanding is darkened. They are alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and because of the blindness of their heart. It's that they simply do not understand Christ. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Why do they do that? Because they honestly don't know any better. When you're dealing with a small child, when you're dealing with a little one, sometimes I have trouble dealing with my littlest children because I forget that they don't know any better. They've never been taught not to stick a fork into the electrical outlets. I mean, how do they know? It's not that they're being foolish. It's not that they're being rebellious. It's they honestly don't know any better. They don't understand. Their understanding is darkened, and they need a father figure or some adult knowledge to come and impart to them going, this is not a wise move for you to make. And then they do like the touching the hot stove thing. They know what they've been told, but they still don't understand. So what do? They stick the fork in the plug, they touch the hot stove, and guess what they gain with that experience? And understanding. Now they understand, and that's where the difference comes in. So what's the difference between the lost and me? It's verse number 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. I have been privileged with an understanding of who God is that most of the world has not been given. We find in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, it says, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." As we know, soul winning, sharing Christ with others, that's part of our responsibilities. They simply do not have the knowledge of God. And that's what we're sharing, is the knowledge of God. Colossians 1 and verse 10 is where we're at, most of us this morning, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." You see, we start our salvation by beginning to understand God, and we continue our Christian walk, and it's all about increasing in our knowledge of God. Now, let me pause for a second and try and give a little illustration to hopefully put this into our mindset as we look through the scripture this morning. I want you to picture in your workplace where you work. Let's picture that your boss comes to you one day and says, "Hey, next week or tomorrow, my boss, your boss's boss, is going to come by." Now, you don't know who this is. Maybe it's the owner of the entire company. Maybe it's just somebody that you've never met before. But you've never met this person, but it's your boss's boss. Now, you have heard things about this individual. You have heard that they are mean and cruel and vicious, that when they go places and check things out, they want to make a statement and they'll find the smallest problems and make the biggest deal about it. They fired people on the spot. You have heard all kinds of rumors about your boss's boss. This is the kind of mental image you get when you picture who's showing up the next day. "I'm not doing anything, but this guy's just trying to make a point that he's in charge, and I'm just going to have to take a chewing out. This is exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. You just know it." Now, I want you to answer in your own mind, answer out loud. I really don't care. If you're in that situation, are you happy that your boss's boss is coming? You're not, are you? Now, there might be a few. There might be one or two rarities that say, "Oh, there are some problems around here. I'm so glad he's here to straighten some things out. I've got some things to show him. I'm going to tell them all about my co-employees, and I'm going to tell them all about their problems." There might be one or two that are excited, but most of us are going to be on that side of, "I'm not really happy that he's coming by." Okay, think about this. How are you going to act when they walk in the door? Is it going to change the way you normally progress through your day? Won't you be a little more hesitant in everything you do? I remember my very first job that I ever received, where I actually got a full paycheck. I was a sandwich artiste at Subway. We say it that way to make ourselves feel better. That was my job. I had been doing it for a few months. And one day, around the lunchtime hour, at the busiest moment, I'm working the sandwich board, which means that somebody else takes the orders, they hand the order over to me, I make the sandwich, communicate. You've probably been to Subway before. You know how this works. And then I hand it off for somebody else to run the register. But I'm in charge of making the sandwiches this particular day. And as the sandwich order is given to me, I begin, and I've got already know what kind of bread. I've got the bread there in front of me. I look up, find out what they want on the sandwich, and it is the owner of the Subway that I am working at. Do you think it changed the way I made that sandwich? I was a lot more meticulous with that one than any other sandwich I had made that day. It changes because of your understanding of who it is that has walked in, who it is that this is the boss's boss. He's angry. So you picture that, and you can imagine yourself maybe sitting behind your desk, shall we say, and you're trying to stay quiet and not make any waves. You don't want to get noticed today. This is the day you want to be not seen. And so you're sitting there, and out of the corner of your eye, you see your boss walk in, and somebody who you assume is your boss's boss walks in behind him. And you're just kind of like, "Please don't come see me. Please don't come see me." And they like make a beeline right towards you. You're like, yay. And so you're focused, you know, because this is your boss's boss. I'm not distracted by anything ever. I'm working away. And your boss walks up and says, "Hey, I want to introduce you to so-and-so." And you kind of stand, and you reach your hand out for a handshake when you realize that this person You never knew what their name was. This person you know. This person is somebody you went to high school with, somebody you went to college with. And you look at him and you go, Jim Bob? My case, man, I haven't seen you in years. And the handshake, and instantly everything changes, doesn't it? What has caused that change? You have a new understanding of who that person is. You might look at that person and go, okay, maybe it was a college roommate that you didn't want to kill. You know, maybe it was a college roommate you got along with. And you go, yes, okay, when it was my turn to clean the bathroom, he was very particular about making sure it was done right. And he would get angry if I didn't do it right. But hey, if you do it the way you're supposed to, he has no problem. This guy's not mean. He just wants things done right. You have a new understanding. And so you can respond differently. The reason it's so important for us to understand God is because our relationship with Him is completely pinnacled on that understanding. Right. How we respond to Him, how we walk with Him, how we come to Him in prayer, all is dependent on how we understand Him. And we can have some very messed up conceptions of who God is. We can really think of God differently than He really is. There's a misconception in the world that God is love, and then they take it a little bit too far. They say God is so loving that He loves me as His child so much that He would never let anything bad happen to His child. And God lives to answer my prayers. He lives to give me the things that I want and I need, and God would never let anything bad happen to His child. And you know what? Some people live their lives by that understanding, and they find out that it's wrong. Because inevitably, if you believe that God is so good that He never lets bad things happen to good people, you know what's going to happen? Bad things are going to happen to you. And then because of your understanding of God, you can even grow bitter at God. You can even grow angry, and you can turn your back on God, and it's not because God did anything wrong. It's because we misunderstood who and what God is. Our entire relationship with Him is dependent on how well we understand Him. I did not have, growing up, this misconception of God. Because I grew up in a church and in a home to where I had the fear of God put in me. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You were afraid to cross God. You were afraid, if I don't do something right, then God is all powerful and boop, I'm gone. I'm just done. I know better. This is kind of the way that I perceived God, the way I understood God in my younger years. As this man, this heavenly deity that stood watching over my every move, and He was eager to dish out punishment because He was always angry with me. Because can I be honest with you? I do some pretty dumb things. I make some really stupid mistakes. And if there's anybody that can be mad at me because they understand every thought in my mind and in my heart, it's God in heaven. But can I give you a little secret? The more that I get to know my Savior, the less afraid of Him I am. The less I fear Him. You see, the church that I grew up in was filled with good people and people that loved the Lord, but they did have a mistake in their doctrine. They believed that you were saved by grace, but then you were kept in the faith by your works. So basically, you don't deserve salvation, and we don't. They were right 100% about that. And you come to God for salvation by grace. But then they took it and said, now that you're saved, you have to be holy, and if you're not holy, then God's not going to take you to heaven. So it was this constant living in fear of, did I do anything wrong a minute ago? Because if I did something wrong a minute ago and I died, I'm done. I've got to always stay holy. And if I'm depending on my own holiness for heaven, it ain't going to work. Amen. Not at all. And so because of that, and we draw our understanding of God from so many sources. Probably our church is one of the major sources. What we read from the Word of God about God is a big source. But we also gather it from friends and relatives and the world around us, from the things we watch on TV to the books we read. They all have a part in creating this understanding of who God is. And I had created this picture of my God, that he was always angry with me. Do you think I enjoyed serving God? Not much. Because I was so afraid of not doing it exactly the right way. I was always afraid that I wasn't doing it good enough or doing it well enough. I was always afraid that God was not going to be pleased with me. When I started understanding that, marrying these two misunderstandings, finding that balance point of God is love and God is justice, and bringing them together in the mix of mercy, when I finally started to understand that just a little bit more, it changed how I dealt with my relationship with God. I remember very particularly when I would come to God in prayer with a need, I always came to God apologetically. God, I'm sorry. I know I'm not who I'm supposed to be. I know I've messed up. I know I don't deserve being here. I know. And I'm almost like groveling on my way to the throne room. Is that what the scripture tells us to do? No. It says that you may come boldly to the throne of grace. I don't have to be afraid of him. I can walk in knowing I've messed up, but knowing that my Savior has paid for every one of those, and he's not going to bring it up. He's not, and if I talk about it, he's going to look at me going, I don't remember that at all. Just what? For, whatever, I don't even know what you're talking about. Let's deal with what you wanted to come here for. He doesn't remember my sins. He's cast them as far as the east is from the west, so I can walk in the righteousness that I was given by Christ. You see how our understanding of who God is can change everything about us? It can change how we deal with Christ. It can change everything we do. Now, I want to show you something here of why it's so important that we understand God. Because when we misunderstand him, there are some things that are very easy that can happen in our lives. When we have a misconception or a misunderstanding of God, there are some things that can very easily happen to us. Number one, it's very easy to become disappointed by God. We expect God to do one thing or to respond one way, and he does not. And so we become disappointed in him. Take that misunderstanding of that God is so loving, he'd never let bad things happen to good people. When something bad happens in your life and a loved one gets cancer and you pray that God will heal them, and then God chooses not to, and God has let something bad happen in your life, now you will live a life disappointed by God. I have been disappointed by God. Anybody else in here ever been disappointed by God? You know why? Because we didn't understand him. We didn't understand what was going on. We didn't understand that that bad thing was actually going to be good for us. It's one of those things that I remember the illustrations of going into the doctor's office and my parents forcing me to sit still so I could get a shot. Shots are bad. I don't care who you are. Shots hurt. They are bad. Anytime somebody sticks a needle in my arm, they are a bad individual. Why are my parents taking me to this person? Why? Because that bad thing was good for me. At least that's what the doctor told my parents, and they just took it hook, line, and sinker, I guess. I don't know. My dad had no clue what he was putting in my arm. He just believed him. Bad things that God allows sometimes be good. Can you think in your past something bad that you hated going through, but it ended up being good for you? I think it's happened to all of us. If we have this misunderstanding of God, it's very easy for us to become disappointed by him. It's very easy for us to become discouraged in our faith. You can be serving God and doing all the things that you believe you're supposed to be doing, and God, because I'm doing this, you should be doing this, and then God doesn't do this. God, I've been faithful to church every single Sunday for a year, but I still don't have that raise at work. I expected that. Well, number one, God never promised that. That's a misunderstanding of God. And we become disappointed that our faith isn't turning out the way we expected it to. And it all boils down to we misunderstood God as a whole. We can become disenchanted or disillusioned by our church. Hey, this is a church where we're all supposed to be following Christ. We're all supposed to be good. We're all supposed to be loving one to another. And then somebody on the other side of the pew, they wronged me. They did something that hurt me. That shouldn't happen in church. Well, guess what? They probably have a misunderstanding of who God is on their side of the pew just as much as you do sometimes. And they probably make mistakes just like you do. And we can become so, we have this mental picture in our mind, don't we, of what our perfect little family should be like, what our perfect little church should be like, and it never really pans out that way, does it? Because we're all human beings that make mistakes. If we expect our church to be perfect, then we're going to be disillusioned because God did not start a perfect or leave a perfect church. Amen. He left us, and we're not perfect. Amen. We can become disillusioned. We can live our lives completely defeated, depressed, discontented, dissatisfied, distressed, frustrated, despondent. You ever been there in your life? Have you ever been there in your faith with Christ? You're just disappointed by what God is allowing. You're despondent. You're frustrated. You've been trying to do what's right, and it's just not working out the way that you expected it to. And it all can boil down to a fact of we just misunderstand what God is doing. We don't understand who He is. Let me try and illustrate with you fairly quickly here how this can happen to us. This is something that weighs very heavily upon my heart as a father. And I hope you'll understand this because I don't have time to unpack the reasons behind this illustration. But in our culture today, in our churches today, there is an underground, underflowing understanding of who God is that is completely inaccurate. There is a group of Christians that believe that if I make sure that I raise my children in God's house, and I even go further and I take them to a Christian school, or I homeschool them, and I make sure that my child tithes, and I make sure that my child reads their Bible every day, and I make sure that I pray with my child every night, that if I do all these things, that God is going to be required to make sure that my child turns out to be that perfect little Christian I have envisioned them to be. And can I tell you, it sounds good, but that's not what the Word of God says. God never forces anyone to follow Him, not even your children that you've raised in church. What the Word of God says is that if you train up a child in the way they should go, and once again, I don't have time to unpack all of that, nor do I understand all of that, but I know that it's a lot deeper than doing all the right stuff. Because you can look great on the outside and be wicked and rotten on the inside. And in a lot of our churches, we have parents, and maybe some of you are those parents. My heart goes out to you because you've been sold a lie, shall we say? You raised your kids in church and you did all these things that you were told you were supposed to do, and your children are not where you want them to be, not where God wants them to be, and it breaks your heart, and my heart goes out to you. And you can find yourself disappointed by not your children, but by God Himself. God, you're all powerful. Why don't you straighten out my kids? Why aren't you doing that? For the same reason He doesn't straighten you out when you're in a mess sometimes. He's given you a free will, just like He's given them. And we think that because I've done all this, God's supposed to do this, and we get disappointed because we never understood Him in the first place. This is kind of where this study, I guess you'd say, this lesson comes from, is I don't have time to tell you the story, but I've gone through, as all of you have, that valley part of your life to where it's very difficult, where I've been disappointed by God, and I've come out of that, shall we say, a little bit, coming to the point of saying, God never was the problem. The problem was I misunderstood my God. I misunderstood what he was doing and how he was working in my life. We force our kids to do what's right and expect God to make them right. And if we do that, we can be disenchanted. We can be disappointed by our God. And we don't want to do that. Here's what we want to do. Turn with me, if you would, in Jeremiah chapter number 9. Jeremiah and chapter number 9. We as believers, we as followers of Christ, everything that we do, all of our life is focused upon this one thing: understanding God. Now, I'm going to show you this here in a little bit, how it ties in very, very closely to the greatest commandment that God has given us. Anybody know what that is? The greatest command: thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength. In just a few moments, I'm going to show you how understanding God ties to how we love God. Jeremiah chapter number 9, verse 23 is what we're going to read. Jeremiah chapter number 9 and verse 23. I am amazed at what men can accomplish. I am amazed at, you know, we just recently had the Olympics, and I watch in awe as some of these people do these races or these events, and it's amazing what a human being can train themselves, the feats that they can accomplish, and I sit on my couch eating potato chips. It just amazes me. Jeremiah chapter number 9, verse 23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. We want to live our lives and be able to, at the end of our lives, say that we have something to glory about. You know what the only thing worth glorying about? That we understand and know him. That we get to know who he is. In the book of Philippians, and chapter number 3 and verse 7, here's what we read. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Forgetting those things which are behind, we press towards the mark. We completely say, all these things, all these, my might, my riches, my strength, my accomplishments, there's nothing worth glorying in any of those. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Amen. See that illustration that we give in that the scriptures give, that Christ should be that treasure hidden in a field? Amen. That we sell everything we have to purchase that treasure? That we, as a goodman that sells goodly pearls, finds that pearl of great price and sells everything to buy that one pearl of great price? That should be Christ for us. That I will give up everything. For what purpose? That I can have the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You know what our Christian walk is all about? that I may know him. Amen. That I can begin to understand him just a little bit better than I did yesterday. That I can gain in my knowledge of him. So the question is, how well do you know your God? How well do you know him? And how well are you trying to get to know him? Are you focused more on what you do, or are you focused on getting to know him? Now, some of you, maybe if you've been over at the Village Chapel, or some of you that I've talked personally, most of you will not see the undercurrent of what I'm about to show you real quick. But I want you to see this. This is awesome. This is in 2 Peter chapter 1. If you ever want to study it, it's a worthy study, I'll tell you. I do not have time to unpack it today. But when you begin to understand God, when you begin to understand him, the first thing that's going to happen in your life is you're going to learn to love him. You're going to fall in love with who he is, because he is awesome. You are going to fall in love with him. And the more you get to know him, the more you're going to love him. You're going to fall in love with him. And then when you fall in love with him and you begin to understand him even more, you will begin to trust him. This is salvation, by the way. There was one point in time you were lost and you had no knowledge of God. Maybe you had an incorrect knowledge of God. Maybe you were like me as a child and you just saw God as that heavenly deity always trying to beat you down, always trying to correct you. And you begin to understand God. You were given an understanding of God and it made you start to love him. And you wanted to know more about this God. You want to know more about this Jesus. What is this? And then as you began to understand what he did for you on the cross, you learn that he's not only a God that's worth loving, he's a God that's worth trusting. Amen. And your salvation, your Christianity began with your understanding of God. But it doesn't stop there, because our Christianity starts that way and then it continues that way. Because as you build and increase on your knowledge of God, not only do you love him more and then learn to trust him more, then you learn how to become more like him. You begin to understand what's called virtues. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, but add to your faith virtue. We begin to understand who God is, that God is a loving God. And if God is a loving God, then I should be a loving Christian. God is a faithful God. And if God's a faithful God, then I should learn how to be a faithful Christian. And we can go through every one of God's virtues that we are supposed to become more and more like him. And then here's where it really gets exciting, because as we're doing this, we gain more understanding of God. And the next thing that happens is we begin to gain knowledge. We can start to see how he thinks and why he does what he does. We've all been in the place to where we stand and say, God, I have no idea what you're doing right now. We've all been there. You know why? Because we don't understand God. But have you ever come to a point in your life to where you remember, I was here and I didn't know what God was doing, but as I walked with Christ, as I grew and increased in knowledge of God, I now stand over here and I go, oh, I get it. I see what he was doing. How did I not see it back then? Oh my goodness, God, thank you. Thank you for giving me that trial. Thank you for giving me that tribulation. I see it now. I see how that helped me to grow. Thank you. One day, I'm looking forward to it. One day, I'm going to be standing in the corridors of heaven, and I've been there for about 1,000,000 years. And one day, I'm going to be walking down, thinking about the things I've learned about Christ, and go, oh, oh, I get it now. That happened millions of years ago. And I finally get it, because this is life eternal, that we might know thee, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. We are trying to get to know who God is. And then can I share one last thing that's not even on my slides? The more you get to know and understand God, the more you love him, the more you trust him, the more you begin to see him and understand how he thinks, you begin to have that mind of Christ. And then, by the way, the more you understand him, the more you can't keep your mouth shut about him. The more you see him working, you understand him and understand how good he is, you don't have to force yourself to tell people or to hand out a tract, because you're going, you have no idea how good this God is. Please read this and start your adventure. Start your journey of understanding God with the simplest thing, that he loves you, that he's worth trusting, and that he has the best in mind for you. That's where I started, and guess what? That's where I'm still continuing. Because today, here's what I encourage you to do. Get to know your God. When you are sitting in the preaching today, don't sit in the pew because you have to. Sit in the pew and have your heart open, saying, God, I want to understand you this much more. I want to understand you a little bit more. I want to love you more. And the only way I'm going to love you more is by understanding you more. And the only way I want to trust you, God, I'm going through a hard time. The only way you're going to trust God more is by understanding him more. God, I don't know what you're doing. There's only one way to find out what God's doing. That's to get the mind of Christ. That's to learn to understand him. When you open up your Bible this week, don't just read the Bible out of duty. Don't just read the Bible because that's what good Christians do. Read your Bible so that you may know him, to get to know him just a touch better. I have to look at my own walk and my own faith in Christ. And I had to pause and say, honestly, do I know him better than I did last year? Do I know him better than I did a week ago? Am I drawing closer to him? Or have I fallen lax in my Christianity and just started doing all the right things for all the wrong reasons? What being a Christian is about understanding God. Appreciate your time here this morning. I believe we have the Sunday school report. God has been good to our church. Total Sunday school this morning, 761. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for being here. I ask that you stay with us. We got the